welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible guests. I have with me Chris Finn and Sky Pillsbury. Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I'm so excited to have you here. Chris, can you introduce yourself to the interwebs?
My name is Christopher Finn. I can be found at Chris Finn on almost everything. My surname, though, is spelled P-H-I-N. I spent most of my career early on as a magazine journalist, but over the last, since the start of this year, really, I have made podcasting my business as well as fun. So I do some personal podcasting, but I'm also helping a big publishing company here in Scotland to set up a podcast channel and to spin up a podcast strategy from there as well. But some folk might know me. I was editor-in-chief of a range of Apple-focused tech titles, including Mac Life in the US and Mac Format in the UK, Mac User. So I've got some tech folks that know me from that. But otherwise, I just do my thing, you know?
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that you have the variety of the podcasts that you get to do. So one that's, you know, more your own run, and then one for this professional level publication. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Sky, what about you? Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'll say is that, Chris, we have something in common, which is that we both had a career that was different than podcasting until recently. So
that's because nobody had a career in podcasting until recently.
Well, that's true for the most part, but I'm giving you a high five over the miles on that.
Yeah.
I came from the world of technology communications, and I have now been writing for over a year about podcasts for the Inside Podcasting newsletter, which I guess I'll share. That can be found at inside.com/podcasting. And it's a 3 times a week newsletter where we share basically what we think are like the coolest, most interesting things that happened in podcasting that day. So it could be news about new podcasts. It could be what's going on Twitter or Reddit. It's just sort of bits and bytes about things that we think are interesting and our audience, which is podcasters and podcast fans, enjoy both. So that's that. And then I host a recently launched podcast of my own called Inside Podcasting. I shouldn't say of my own because it's part of the Inside Network, but it's called Inside Podcasting. And in that, I interview podcast hosts about their craft. And I love doing it.
It's so wonderful. I know when you filled out the Google form for this show, you were like, it's okay if it's like we're too connected, but I
yes.
feel like, first off, there's enough room for everybody. That's a great thing about podcasting is you can have, yes. you know, 20 bad movie podcasts and it's great. But also you're so much more intimate with one of your hosts interacting. Whereas I'm more of a conversation and more about the podcasts that you love, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very different, but I did. That's funny that I wasn't sure if you had read that part, but yes I definitely wanted to sort of call out like, hey, it's cool if you feel it's competitive. And I'm glad that you decided that it would make sense.
Well, I'm so glad that you are here. It makes me happy. I love it.
Yeah,
I love it too. Fantastic.
Me too.
Hey, Sky, can I ask you a question? What's the thing in the last sort of couple of weeks of you doing the newsletter that's really absolutely blown your mind about the podcast industry? Something you just didn't expect to see when you were putting the newsletter together?
Like a piece of news?
So one of the items you put in that was just like, I had no idea this was a thing.
Well, the thing that comes to mind is not altogether positive. It's what happened with Himalaya. And I don't know if you saw that in the news where they had made an announcement saying Himalaya, you know, is a podcast network. It's actually mm-hmm. based in my backyard here in San Francisco. And they had made an announcement that they had garnered $100 million in investment. And that turned out to not be materially true. They might have access to it through their parent company, but it wasn't true. They also listed investors who had invested in their parent company and not them. So it was not quite what I'm sure that this goes on, but having spent many years in the technology industry, I was very surprised to see that as none of my clients have ever done it. I don't think that it is, that this is a prevalent problem within podcasting. Who knows why it happened?
But it's one of those dodgy things, isn't it?
Definitely.
As people start coming in, as VCs start coming into the podcast industry and investing massive amounts of money in this little hobby area that we've all kind of worked in for the past few years, we are starting to see some slightly dodgy business practices coming in. And it's a sign of the industry growing up, but not necessarily in ways that us old hippies would like.
Yes.
That's true. I guess, you know, you're always, as an industry matures, you're always going to see change like that. You're always going to have, you know, the positives and negatives. You know, it was too bad to have to write about that. I know people who work there who I'm sure had nothing to do with it. And I really feel for them. Yeah. But yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind. There's lots of positive things too, but that's what I'll throw out for.
Well, we should subscribe to the newsletter so we can read them.
Oh, well, of course, I'd love that.
Yes. Just throwing that one out there, because that's, I like to start the show off with, you know, some swagger and brags. You know, I want to know who you are, where you are from, what you love, that sort of stuff. And then we can get into the business. But you know, being able to like really talk about yourself first and not have to stress about that at the end of a conversation, which is where it tends to fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, you understand I'm British, right? I can't possibly toot my own horn. It doesn't come naturally to me. I'm not just British, Scottish, you know, I'm sort of...
I mean, that is not the appropriate behavior out there, Chris.
Well, you know, I'm a... silly American, and not only that, I'm a Pacific Northwest American, so I'm even more of a slacker, like lazy.
Are you in Seattle?
I'm in Portland.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Beautiful city. Oh, I've been there.
I love it. I love it so much. It's my home. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about locations. We're talking about podcasts.
Yeah.
So let's get started with the first question. Chris, how did you start listening to podcasts, and what was the first podcast you listened to?
I can't answer the second question. I've been thinking about it since listening to Friends in Your Ears, what I would talk about if I was asked. And I can't remember the first podcast I listened to, but I can remember the kinds of podcasts they would Perfect. Be. Because in common with a lot of, I suspect, British people, and there will be analogous roots, I suspect, with things like NPR in the States, I started listening to podcasts that were originally radio broadcasts put out by the BBC. So I was a really big radio guy. I had a DAB radio, a DAB radio, which is, I guess, the closest equivalent for the US would be something like Sirius or XFM. So it was a digital broadcasting system. It was an upgrade from the old FM system. And I used to, it's quite a nerdy thing to have. Not many people have, or rather had at the time, DAB radios, and certainly far fewer still had portable ones. They would have them in their cars, maybe, or at home. But when I lived in London at the time, and this was in the start of the 2000s, I would get on the bus and listen to my radio on the way into work and then on the way back from work. And I really loved it. I listened to Radio 4, which is a speech-based radio station, but not sort of talk radio as you'd understand it in the US, quite sort of documentary-led, again, very NPR-y. And then eventually I started listening to a lot of the programmes that I had consumed that way actually as podcasts. The BBC started just putting out its programmes as podcasts, mm-hmm. Rather than as an augment to what they were doing with broadcast. And for a long, long time, that's all the BBC did. It just put out these broadcasts as podcasts and didn't do any native podcast programming. But that's all changing. And I think I felt a bit fraudulent coming on your show, Kathy, and talking about this, because, you know, this is not podcasting as we understand it today, with it being, if not actually indie, then certainly indie in spirit in a lot of the cases. So even the shows that come out now from the very big podcast networks like Relay or Gimlet or any of the big ones, or even from big media companies, they still have a sort of indie feel, right? They've got a very different tone to traditional radio broadcasts. And I felt a bit guilty coming on saying, "Oh, I listen to BBC podcasts." But I think it's a real gateway drug for a lot of people, especially here in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole idea of the transition from radio to podcasting is very seamless. You listen to the radio mm-hmm. because you're driving, or you're in your home or whatnot, and then you have this little computer in your pocket that allows you to access that radio at a timing that you want and listen to the voices that you want. And so it's not fraudulent. It's not like that's exactly the journey that most people take, and there is a reason for that, because you're like, oh, these are voices that that I already am comfortable with, let me bring them deeper into my ears at a time and a pace that I want to listen to them. And then you can get used to the media and you can move to something else that's, you know, more specific or more quote unquote cool or whatever you want to say about it. And that's another great thing about podcasting is that journey is so personal that it's great that you found it. Who cares how you, what path you took to get there? Because you're here.
Yeah.
I think that's a really key point as well, that because I'm working just now in a big media company, it's called EC Thompson. It's the biggest media publishing company in Scotland. I know it doesn't sound like very much, but it's a major multinational company. And I'm trying to introduce, with colleagues' help, obviously, podcasting across the company. And a lot of the conversations I had early doors with some people who weren't familiar with podcasts, there would be that conversation about, well, what is a podcast? Oh, it's a bit like a radio show. And then they'd quite often, I'd send them away with a sort of list of a bit of homework to do to listen right. to some shows. But it was tricky, though, because very often they would sort of, it's analogous to me to switching the radio on to and just fiddling the dial and then just listening to whatever is on. If you don't take your own journey into podcasting, because if all you do is listen to the things like The Daily or Serial, Night Vale, I don't know, there's sort of podcasting big hitters, you might come away thinking, well, what is podcasting? It doesn't speak to me at all. But if I can discover in a conversation with somebody that they're really interested in WWE or they're a super crafter, they're really into knitting, I can find them podcasts to listen to. And once you find that one, man, it clicks.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's, once again, why I'm so glad that there's so much variety, because you might be like, oh, this knitting podcast is great, but this one I don't love the voice, something about it, like a relationship between two people you're just not down with, like you don't love it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because yes, there's something else that you can listen to, but also that podcast and that relationship that you may not like, someone else will absolutely love. So all of this variety out there is so refreshing, because it means that, okay, yeah, if this isn't yours, that's okay. We got one over here for you, or we can try this one or whatever, or just listen to them all, which is also an option.
Oh, but man, the FOMO.
Yes.
I was just going to say that I was at Podfront this week, you know, which is where a lot of the corporate podcasters pitch ad agencies to see if they'll advertise on their shows. And Tom Webster of Edison Research was there. And he said, what you're saying reminds me of one of his points, which was there are a lot of people out there who know the word podcasting, but they say they don't know what it means and it's not for them. And the reality is they just haven't found their show. Once they find the show that speaks to them, they find the medium.
Yes.
So it's that thing where it's like people tell you about, oh, Serial, this or that. But if that doesn't appeal to you, so many people dismiss it out of hand. But really, they just need to find the show that works for them.
Yes. And there's new ones coming up all the time, which is so great, because there will be a show that is for somebody.
Yeah.
And you know what? If there's not, make it.
Yes. But that's our next question. Sky has to answer the first question.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll quickly say that I knew what podcasts were for a while because of having worked in technology, but it just didn't seem appealing to sit at my computer and listen to something. Of course, the iPhone changed all that. And then I was one of the Serial generation. So a friend of mine told me about it. And at the time I was doing these very long drives every weekend, and my family, we started listening to, first I listened to Serial, but then we really got into Startup, which was a podcast started by Alex Bloomberg, who founded Gimlet Media. You guys are probably familiar. And it was incredible to listen to. You know, this podcast was about Alex trying to build a podcast empire. And he was recording his experience of trying to get the money and hire the people and everything that goes into getting a business off the ground in real time. And because my work had been mostly with technology startups, that was the show for me. As Tom Edison, Tom Webster says, you know, you have to find the show for you. So this was the perfect show for me because it was a podcast, but it also was so much about a world that I knew a fair amount about. And then from there, it was just 0 to 60 for me.
And you're just like, all of the podcasts, please.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll take all of them.
All of them. That's amazing. I haven't heard the Alex Bloomberg for the startup. I need to look into that because that sounds so fascinating.
It is fascinating. You have to start from season one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will do. I will definitely add that because I love the different, all of the podcasts that I've done and most of the ones that I listen to are very small, very intimate, you know, starting in the garage type podcasts. Mm. And so like searching out to build an empire and get funding is a whole other world that is so interesting to me. So I love that little peek behind the curtain of that mindset. That's wonderful.
Yes, me too. Me too. I love all the behind the scenes type podcasts.
Yes, it's so good. And speaking of behind the scenes, Chris, what made you want to actually start make a podcast?
Fury, anger, disenchantment, disillusionment. So I was working at the time as an editor-in-chief in a magazine company. And truth be told, I was a little, I was probably about a year away from quitting. I was getting a little bit sick of the corporate culture and the expectations, and also just sick of operating in a commercial environment that meant that I had particular calls on my time, and I was being made to think about the commercial realities of the business we're operating in. Oh, you know, 24/7 is saturated. Certainly, my working life 24/7 is a little overdramatic, but very, very focused on return on investment, generating revenue, all that sort of stuff. So I just got sick of it, and I started a podcast, a little whiskey based podcast called Scotch. And it was started absolutely explicitly as a rejection of corporate publishing. And I should say, like, I understand the commercial realities of publishing, and I still work in a publishing company. I'm not saying, you know, everyone should be a hippie and just and say screw the man, but it was really getting to me, you know. It was getting to me so much that I decided I would start my own podcast, and it wouldn't be, there would be no ads. It wouldn't be in any, I mean, this was 2005, maybe. I'm shocking with dates, but, you know, a little while ago now. I can't be as long ago as that, actually, but it was certainly a few years ago. And there was no, very, very few people were commercializing. There was no sort of mid-roll. There's no, none of that sort of mechanism behind monetizing. But even if there was, I would have said no. I didn't want, there was no music. There was no nothing. There was no rights. I rolled my own RSS. I put the episodes up on an Amazon S3 bucket. I didn't even use a podcast host. And it's still that way today. But it was a rejection of the sort of structures and having to, you know, not quite work by committee, but having to please other people with what I was doing, to sort of filter my passion through other people. And I wanted something that I could sit down, press a big red button, talk for 20 minutes, press a big red button again. I'd still have some whiskey in the glass. I'd go away. I'd finish the whiskey. And then the next night I'd come back and edit it and then put it up. And it's incredible. If you listen to the early episodes of Scotch, it is, you can feel my stress, but you can also see that it is just incredibly quiet and intimate and contemplative. And it was never designed, like, I didn't want it to be authoritative and declarative. It's not, I am not rating whiskeys. I'm not an authority. I'm just somebody who likes it. I'm just going to sit here and drink, and I'm going to talk to you about what I'm what I'm drinking. And that super, super personal bit of it was really important to me.
Especially coming from this corporate world where nothing is really personal, being to have this section and make it your own, and you can do whatever the heck you want to do with it.
You can mess it up, man. Yes. You know, you can, it can be bad. And that's a really important thing. You can make something that is atrocious and nobody's going to care. I mean, the very worst thing that's going to happen is that your listeners, your audience, will switch off. But you know what? That's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, because you're doing it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your passion that comes through in your podcast, Scotch.
Yeah, for sure. It's not in any way, I would never, ever, ever position it as. And I did sort of think a couple of times, like, should I try and get a sponsor involved? Should I try and, or at least if not for it to give me money, then to give me whiskey.
Right.
which is, you know, not a bad thing. Is this tax deductible? But I wanted to make sure that I could do something that I was allowed to be bad at, and I was it was allowed to not succeed because there was nothing riding on it, literally nothing riding on it.
Yeah, that freedom it's so refreshing and wonderful, and I'm so glad that you were able to find something that let you give that feedback to yourself, but also something that you can continue and enjoy doing and share it with the world. That's pretty great.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness as well, Scotch goes through like multi-year lulls where like it went off air, if you like, for 4 years when our daughter was born, because I just didn't have any time or mental bandwidth to deal with it. But again, that comes down to, I'm not going to be beholden to it. It won't ruin my life. I'm not going to be stressed out about, oh my God, I haven't published this week. It's just going to do its thing. If I've got time and money to buy whiskey and to record the podcast, I'll do it. If I don't, I won't. And everyone's just going to have to deal with that. And of course everyone does deal with that. Like, nobody's expecting me to publish weekly or anything like that.
Right.
People do, you know, people are very nice on the internet, on Twitter, and say to me, oh, we haven't had an episode for a while, you gonna do one? And I say, do one yourself. I say, oh, I'll get to it at some point. But I think being able to take the structure out of it is important.
Yeah. And that's something that's so great too, with the way that podcasting is situated, is that you can just remain subscribed to a podcast, even if there's no new episodes. And it doesn't take up a whole lot of space. It doesn't take, you know, time, effort, or energy. But as soon as a new podcast comes out, it's there in your feed most of the time, depending on how you obviously have situated your podcast player of choice. But it's there. And so if it gets pushed from whoever is doing the podcast, it's easy enough for an audience who is a fan to be able to see that episode. And that's something that's really special too.
When I went back, the last time I relaunched it, I went back in and looked at the listener figures, which are just in through very old-fashioned way of doing things. I put the RSS through Feedburner, Google's old RSS management service. And I quite genuinely thought there was a decimal place in the wrong place, because it had had something like 28,000 downloads. Now, in the great scheme of things, 28,000 downloads, of course, is not a big number. It's really, really not. But for something that was explicitly set up as, I don't care if this lives or dies, to have, and for it to have been sitting fallow for 4 years, and go back into and go, oh my goodness, I wasn't that polite when I saw it.
Wow.
But my goodness, to see that big chunk was quite significant, and it really made me think, you cannot care about stuff and yet still produce something good.
Yeah. What do you chalk that up to?
Well, for one thing, I think people do respond to the fact that it is incredibly explicitly unpretentious and not pretending to be authoritative. But also, I'm fortunate that it's obviously on iTunes and stuff, and it's called Scotch, and I am Scottish, and I think it's a sort of SEO thing as well. People will just discover it. And as I say, some of my friends have been very nice and have amplified it on Twitter and stuff.
That's great.
You know, it's the long tail with podcasts. They just sit and the episodes just go up and up and up. And I don't know what other podcasters find, but as I do more podcasting with DC Thompson, I find that our back catalogue actually really starts to accrete listens, downloads. Not especially, I mean, it might be content that's not evergreen content. You know, a couple of the podcasts I produce are football podcasts, and they're, you know, about the games that are happening this weekend, and yet people are going back and listening to them. And I think that long tail aggregation accretion of listeners really bumps up your numbers, and people always forget about that.
I feel like podcasts is one of those things that people will go listen to back catalogs a lot of the time, not as much like YouTube videos, or I mean, TV shows is totally different, but podcasts, it's so easy to just say, oh, well, I like these people, I want to listen to their journey, because it's, especially if it's a multiple host show, you get to follow along that friendship. and the relationships, and you don't want to miss out on the cool inside jokes that people are going to be talking about, because you're like, I want to be cool too. I want to know what they're talking about. And so you get to follow that journey with everyone else. And so I know a lot of people that do that. And then there's a lot of people that re-listen to the shows over and over again, which is just mind-blowing to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
Yeah.
But I think these podcast people are your friends. And I mean that absolutely non-judgmentally, because it's true for me as well. I'm explicitly not saying, oh, you know, these poor tragic people who think they've got friends on the internet. Some of the podcasts that I listen to, the very best podcasts, we all know this, they are just like you have pulled up a chair, or you've sidled up alongside somebody walking along the street, and you're just somewhat creepily just sitting there silently listening to them chat. But they're your pals. They absolutely are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where the name of this show came from. It's friends in your ears. These friends are hanging out. It may be a one-sided friendship, but they're still your friends, and you still get to learn so much about these people. And it's such an intimate moment. And I love it. It's so special. Makes me happy.
Podcast love.
All right, Skye, what about you? What got you started?
Well, I had been writing about them for a while, and then I discovered that my boss had this podcast studio because I guested on one of his shows, and it just seemed honestly like kind of like a no-brainer. It was like, we have this beautiful podcast studio, and you know, I would love, I mean, in my heart, I am just a fangirl, right? And so for me, like, to be able to have an excuse to talk to the people who make these incredible shows was just really appealing. And so I didn't really think it would happen. I mean, I ran it past the people I work for, and it actually right away they were, you know, yes, let's do this. Let's go for it. So that was actually then when it became kind of real. It was a little bit terrifying for me, because I didn't know at all like WTF I was doing. But I, you know, I've been figuring it out, and it's been one of the greatest learning experiences I've ever had.
So wonderful that you get to. It's nice that you didn't have to necessarily start with the technical side, that you were able to, you had all of the setup, like you mentioned, you had an audio engineer that does all the stuff for you, which is mm-hmm. wonderful, because you can concentrate on the important part. And that's these conversations and the people that you're speaking with, and being able to really like hone in and concentrate on that without having to stress on the editing or the gain on the mic and the cables and all of that junk that happens.
Yeah, I think that would have killed me, actually, if I had, or it might have killed the project. I mean, because I'm writing, and I have other things on my plate, right? Like, this was going to have to be something that I could do and not have it completely take over my life. I mean, I say that now with a smile on my face, because it really did take over my life anyways, even though I wasn't doing the actual, you know, the sound engineering, and I do have someone who helps me with the editing. I'm still doing a ton of the editing, and I made a rookie mistake, which was I booked a lot of studio time. And I interviewed people for long stretches of time thinking, well, this will be good. I'll have a ton to choose from, not realizing that, like, you know, really.
You have to listen to it all before you can choose it.
Exactly. And like, there's so much that goes into then the process of like, oh, wait, but if I cut that out, then this doesn't make sense. Like all of that crap. Right. So I definitely learned from that. I think I also understand now more like what am I trying to get out of these people? At first, I had a broader idea, and now I've sort of narrowed down, you know, I've honed in on like what the sweet spot is. So I think hopefully for season two, we're about to wrap our season one next week, and then I'm going to have a break, which I really, really need. And then we're going to do a season two. And during season two, I will have learned from hopefully some of my mistakes, although, you know, the night is young. I'm sure I'll make lots more.
There's so many mistakes that you can still make. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, I hope so.
It means that you're working on it, though. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys heard of Descript? which I just saw today, which is an astonishing service that transcribes your podcast, your interviews, and you think, oh, so what? But what it then does is it puts it into, in effect, a word processing document that you can then edit the text of, and that edits the audio.
Yes. Yeah, and they just made an announcement this week. It looks amazing. I'm actually on a Slack, in a Slack group with some folks who were very bullish about it. Like, say, I mean, professionals who are making like podcasts, you know, that are at the top of the charts, this one person in particular anyway. And he was saying that he uses that, like that there is almost no piece of audio that he has published in the last, I don't know how long, but year plus, that hasn't had Descript involved in some way. So he was very excited about it. I forget what the latest announcement is. I might even cover it for tomorrow. But yeah, I've heard great things about it. I definitely want to look into that.
It looks mind-blowing.
Yeah, I've heard there are some issues when you have more than like two guests. It has a like it's perfect if like for Scotch where you're just you yourself, like there's not, you don't have to mess with over talking. Oh, accent's probably going to be, be harder. But anytime you have multiple people though, it does tend to mess it up a little bit. But to get started too, like to have a first pass, and to really like be able to clean it up and concentrate, that's definitely a way. And most importantly, it's a way that can make it easier for people that are getting started and are really overwhelmed with how to edit a podcast. I'm so excited that there's these things that exist that allow you to make it even easier to start a podcast, because that means incredible stuff can come.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to get my hands dirty with it, because even if you can't use it to do the final mastering, although they will say that you can, the fact that I could use it to like chuck in my interviews, give me my transcripts, I can hack them about a little bit and it will then spit it out to Audition that I can then, it's non-destructive, I can still take the waveforms and tweak them. That, it just sounds incredibly exciting. And they do that cool thing where it'll match your voice so that if you stumble over something, it can do an AI-generated voice to match over it. And in the demos, at least, I was just blown away with it today. Oh no, so I'm having a look at it.
Yeah, so cool. And man, the technology. Can you imagine where we're going to be even in a year, let alone, you know, five? It's pretty incredible. I will take it, hands down. All right. So we're going to take a moment here to look at your phone and tell me what podcast is playing in your podcast app of choice. And obviously it's not playing right now. I realize that would be awkward. Specifics, you know, please don't listen to a podcast while you're recording a podcast, just like a lightness thing. But if you were to hit play in a podcast, what show would play and what episode?
So for me, it's actually the answer to your next question. So I won't tell you what that is. One back from that is a fantastic, again, BBC, and I'm very aware, I'm very nervous, you can sense my nerves about being so BBC heavy, because of course this is a massive organisation, of course they can produce good stuff, but there's a really good BBC podcast called No Country for Young Women, and it's a podcast produced by two young women, or rather presented by two young women in the UK, one of whom is Muslim and one of whom is black. And it's their podcast about their experience about race and identity in modern Britain. Wonderful. It's really good. But so, A, listen to it, because it's brilliant. It's punchy. It's feisty. It's really, really good. But the other thing that fascinates me about it, and one of the reasons I'm still listening to it from a kind of businessy point of view as well, is it really fascinates me to watch how, because this is kind of my job just now, how big, you know, institutional publishers like the BBC are adapting to the rigors of podcasting. And this is a podcast that there's swearing, which is not censored. There is a very, very frank discussion about sex, sexuality, obviously race, which could be contentious, but the BBC has the cojones to just put it out. And now it's very well produced, obviously, and very polished. And I'm sure it's not the case that it's an unfiltered stream of consciousness, but I'm really fascinated with how that organization deals with embracing podcasting as we three would understand it. You know, it's not just, you know, this is the BBC from London kind of broadcasting stuff. It is kind of scrappy, feminist, progressive voices. And it's fascinating to watch that. But yeah, apart from the fact that the podcast is just brilliant to listen to.
Yeah, I wonder, I feel like if you were to describe that podcast without mentioning that it was on the BBC and say, what, you know, network do you think this is on? Nobody would guess the BBC.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
What did you say it was called again? I'd love to check it out.
It's called No Country for Young Women.
Okay.
And it's a woman called Sadia and a woman called Monty who do it. And they're cracking it. Whoever scouted them has done a bang up job.
Awesome. Cool. And don't forget, all links to all of the shows will be in the show notes.
Great.
But of course, there are no show notes right now, which is why Sky had to ask again. But yes, if you are listening to this, just click in whatever app you are, and there hopefully show notes will be showing up, because it shows up in like 99% of all apps. So you should be able to click on them. All right, Sky, what about you? What are you listening to right now?
So right now I am obsessed with a podcast called 1619. Have you guys heard of that?
No. It's twinging familiar? Something in my memories.
Yeah.
So tell me about it.
Well, so this year is the 400th anniversary. I don't know if anniversary is such the wrong birthday. Kind of word, but of the first ship of containing slaves arriving on American shores. And so New York Times has a big project called the 1619 Project. And part of that is a podcast called 1619, which is hosted by Nicole Hannah Brown, who I am also now completely obsessed by her. And it is so fascinating. I mean, for me, you know, I went to good public schools and feel like I got a great education. And I mean, I guess unsurprisingly, there is so much, and there's been four episodes so far, so much that I did not learn about, you know, the politics of that time and the realities of how certain politicians felt about slavery and the ending of slavery and what happened to slaves and the long legacy that it has left. For example, the fact that we don't have universal health care in some ways can be traced back to our relationship to white America's relationship with the legacy of slavery. And it's just, it is a absolute, I feel like every American at least, and Chris, I'd love it if you listen to it too, of course, but every white citizen of the United States should listen to this podcast. It is just eye-opening.
I've just downloaded the whole thing.
Yeah,
I've subscribed already.
Great. Wow. Oh, great. I'm happy about that, because it's a must-listen, I think.
I there's something really magical about the fact that podcasts are not just about, you know, video games and movies and tech, which is, you know, that's like, obviously that has its place and there's something great about those types of conversations, but the ability for podcasts to provide something like this in such a significant way. I mean, I'm just thinking of Serial and then, you know, the subsequent Undisclosed podcast that came for Serial, like all of the work that they have done on these people's lives that have had horrible things happen to them, and the power of voices, individual voices coming from Nowheresville, is just so fascinating and so wonderful. And I'm really excited that this is becoming more and more the norm. And like I said, the 1619 Project, I swear I'm going to shoot this truck. Seriously. Sorry. It was so loud. Wow. I got distracted. But like, I had heard the 1619 and I was like, why do I know this? What is this? And so like seeing that in my, you know, area, and now I'm like, oh, I can listen to a podcast about it. Perfect. Because
Right.
I, reading an article is one thing, but being able to have these voices, these intimate voices in your ears telling you these stories is something completely different.
Completely different. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever get jealous if you're producing podcasts that are much more sort of conversational like this one? Do you ever get jealous of the sort of resources and heft and time, I guess, and deep pockets of an organization like the New York Times to be able to make these landmark pieces of podcast history? I do sometimes.
Sometimes, but mostly I'm just so thankful that there's somebody that is doing it. I don't necessarily have that type of program in me. I don't know. I don't feel that I'm smart enough to be able to present that in a way.
Oh, that's not true. I mean,
thank you. But that's not where I want to live. I'd much rather, like, I'm safe and comfortable in this little type of a conversation. Like, let's have little driplets of these things coming out. But being able to experience it and not have the pressure of these incredible shows and all of the work, the hard work, researching and prepping and script writing and all of that that goes into it. I'm just glad I get to enjoy the benefits and the fruits of their labor. Because that is not my game to play.
Yeah. Certainly at this stage, it's not mine either. I mean, I don't know enough about what that would be like to even answer whether that would be something that eventually I would ever want to do. But I feel the same in that I feel so fortunate, that I can just listen to all of it and then I can interview the people who are making it.
Yes. What's so great about your show is that you do get to ask those really deep, intimate questions. I mean, I'm just like this light layer of let's talk about podcasts, and you get to really dive into that. Granted, we get to have some of these pretty incredible conversations too, like we're having right now.
But there's room for all of it, right? Yeah. That's the point.
But in some ways, I will say I'm sort of jealous of the fact that you have such a clear format, And so it can kind of go any direction when I'm talking to people. And yet I have to sort of have my eye on the ball, whereas a clear structure, like I'm going to ask these five questions, is sort of liberating.
Yes.
Is it not?
It's absolutely true. I have to do very little actual prep work. Hardest part of this show is finding, like, matching up guest schedules
and
being able to do that, which is why I have someone that does the initial conversations with me for me, because it's like, okay, I have this great Google form that has the spreadsheet with all of these people that have shown interest in wanting to be on the show. And I have, what time zone they're in and when they can record. And then narrowing that huge list down is just like so overwhelming. Yeah, but then I get to come and have these great conversations with these amazing people. And it's just like, oh, yay. And then I get to share it with the world and they get to experience it too and be a part of it. And that just makes me super happy.
Yeah. No, that sounds like fun.
It's so much fun.
You've got a good gig.
I'm pretty, pretty fortunate. I will take it. Okay. So the final podcast related question, Chris, what is your favorite podcast and why do you love it so much?
Well, I've decided to go all in on BBC-ness in this show. When I'd done two out of three, I thought I'm just going to go for the third as well. So, and the reason it's on my playlist right now, and if I press play on my iPhone sitting beside me, it would play, is because the conversations that I've been having in my head and listening to Friends in Your Ears, it reminded me of one of my very favorite podcasts. I thought I'm going to go back and indulge in that again. And it's a podcast called A History of the World in 100 Objects. And it's presented by a chap called Neil McGregor, who's one of those people that I would, if I see his name in anything, I will listen to it because I adore him. Now, it's a little bit dodgy because, he is male, pale and stale, cisgendered, white man, elderly white man. but he is smart and kind and playful and articulate and astonishing to listen to. He was at the time the director of the British Museum in London, so a lot of the show was centered around him just being able to like walk into these astonishing archives and just pull out the most astonishing things and tell you about them. But the podcast itself is 100 episodes long. Each one's about 15 minutes or thereabouts long. Beautifully, beautifully produced and told with such confidence and elan that you can't help but enjoy it. But a little bit like the 69 Project as well, just the sheer vistas of ignorance that it opens up in you is really delightful. And as you listen and fall into, and you feel so safe in Neil McGregor's hands, taking you by the hand and taking you on this journey that you go through. And it's an absolute delight. And I'm so grateful actually for the excuse to go back and rediscover it and sit and indulge in that. So that's what I've been listening to a lot of recently. And if, you know, I'm listening to another podcast and it finishes and my cycle to work hasn't finished yet, I'm like, let's just sneak in a quick History of the World and 100 Objects before I get to work.
So you're one of those that is bumping up the listens of old episodes.
You for know, sure.
There's that reason that people go back and listen to it. If you have something good that people want to experience, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
He's done loads as well. And so if you listen to 100 History of the World, 100 Objects, and then just search Neil McGregor and podcast, you'll find other shows that he's done, and they're all as good as each other. They're all wonderful. So here's one of my favorite facts from a different one of his shows, which is A History of Germany, which was, you might know that the German national anthem has in it the line Deutschland, Deutschland über alles. Now, in tradition, in Western culture, we see that as a very imperialistic, you know, trample everyone else, my God, this is what gave us the Nazis kind of line, you know, Germany, Germany over everything else. You think that sounds terrible, but actually the line was originally, it was designed to be Germany as a concept, you know, Germany as an ideal above you, the German people's own little worries. So put your country first was what the line actually meant. And when I heard that, I was like, dear God, I've been so sort of poisoned against Germany in sort of the narrative about Deutschland, Deutschland über alles, you know, this marauding imperialistic Nazi force in the Second World War, that actually that wasn't what the line meant at all. And stuff like that, that's what podcasts can do, or radio can do.
Yeah, and it gives you this little snippet of information that's
this
so easy. It
blows your mind wide open.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. I love learning things like that. And so History of the World and 100 Objects is also going on my gigantic queue.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that. Maybe I wrote about it. I'm not sure.
All right, Skye.
This is a really hard question for me to answer.
answer more than one podcast. It is acceptable.
I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yes. I don't like to put it out there, like tell me your top five.
Yeah, right. Because you might have a 3-hour podcast if you did that. Okay, well, I'll go quickly then. I'll at least mention two. One I feel like is very mainstream. And so I think a lot of people will have heard of it. And so I feel like it's maybe not the most exciting answer, but I mean, I love this podcast so much that I cannot lie. Reply All is one of my very favorite podcasts on earth. Have you guys listened to it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it sort of blends my love for technology with the fact that I'm a social animal and I like narrative and just the mix. I just think that they nail it. And whenever I turn on a Reply All episode, I know I'm going to enjoy it. I know I'm going to have a great time. But I would also say that one of my indie favorites is a show called Desert Oracle Radio, and which you probably haven't heard of, is my guess.
No.
And so it is hard to describe. It is a one-man band. He lives in the Mojave Desert. He has lived there for years, and he broadcasts. It started as a radio show. Now it's a podcast, and they do some live stuff too. But it sort of almost feels like a fictional, dreamlike podcast, but it's nonfiction. He weaves in these totally obscure, wacky, off the beaten path stories about what in the world goes on down in the desert, because you've got a very interesting mix of people there. You've got people on what he calls their Instagram holidays. There's people who are, you know, who are obsessed with UFOs. There are families with, you know, yelling loud kid. There's all this wildlife and incredible structure and artists who he sometimes brings onto the show. But he somehow is able to tell those stories. And there's always music. The entire background is music. It's very, very like a, it's a very, it has its own ambient sound and different kinds of music that he'll sort of mix together in the background. It almost feels like he's a DJ. And then he will also somehow weave in there his own sort of commentary on how this reflects, how what he's seeing is sort of reflected by the larger world. It's an incredible show. His voice is also blows me away. I'm just realizing that I've now recommended two podcasts that are hosted by white men, and I'm sorry for that. But they are both really, like, to me, just making such incredible use of the form.
Yeah, that's magical. I love the idea that, like, he lives in this desert that is, it's such a different world than most of us live in.
You know,
and that experience, and he's able to share that with the world, and it's so random and offbeat. And if you had told anybody, you know, 10 years ago, oh, hey, I'm going to talk about a podcast about this guy that lives in the desert, you know, you would have gotten laughed at, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and also just what he's able to accomplish, and it's pretty much only his voice. He sometimes has some guest stuff on there, but anyone who can carry along a podcast with just their voice, like Nicole Hannah Brown for the first episode of 1619, it's almost entirely her voice, and yet you cannot turn it off. So kudos to all those folks.
That's amazing. That's so wonderful. Well, thank you both for sharing your favorite podcasts. And we are now down to the final question, which is going to have nothing to do with podcasts. And in fact, audience, if you would like to submit a question for me to ask my guests in the future, go ahead and just go onto Twitter and tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And this episode's question is very serious and important. And what is the most frivolous item that you own, use, and love?
I'm going with fashion.
Okay.
I own a jacket, which is like, it's like a vintage jacket from like the 70s, but it's like, I think it's faux fur, to be honest. I don't know. But it's like this patchwork. It's short. It's actually short. It's kind of short and fitted. It snaps up the front, and it has kind of this like patchwork front where like different pieces of material are sort of attached in this kind of like moderny, funny way. And they aren't made out of fur. The fur is like on the shoulders and the arms.
Okay.
And it sounds ridiculous. Like, I now feel like I need to take a picture and send it to you guys, but
it sounds awesome, man. It sounds awesome.
Yes, please do.
I'll send you a picture, but it is like, why do I own this? I mean, I do wear it and I do absolutely love it, but it does feel a little frivolous, but it's something that I treasure.
That's amazing. I cannot wait to look and see.
I'll send it.
I actually was tempted to go fashion as well, but let's try not to make it sound like fashion is always entirely frivolous. And let's compound that gender stereotype by talking about some tech for me. mostly because I'm looking around me trying to be inspired. And actually, because I spent a lot of my early career as a technology journalist in the Apple sphere, and I've also had a real interest in retro vintage computer stuff. One of my favorite things is behind me as we record on a shelf is an Apple E-mate. Does that ring a bell with either of you two?
Yes. No. What is it? An Apple what?
An Apple E-mate, E-M-A-T-E. And it was it was the first translucent computer, I think, that Apple made. So if you think back to the iMac of the 90s, and 1998, it was a forerunner to that, stylistically in a sense. But it was a little computer made really for use in schools. But it is, if you Google Apple E-mate, you'll see pictures of it. And it is the most charming thing. It is made of a very slightly translucent dark green plastic, but it's all swoopy. It's got a handle built into it. It's got sort of handbag aesthetic. It's got some bulges and curves, and it runs Apple's Newton OS operating system. And Newton OS is a fabulous thing packed with personality. When you tap on stuff, it makes little noises, but they're not the same noise. So it's not just beep, 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 beep. It's like pop, beep, beep, pop, pop, beep, pop. And it's just the most charming thing. And of course, it's utterly useless. I don't use it, but I absolutely adore it. It's such a evocative thing for me. And when I was a kid and I really wanted a whole bunch of tech stuff that I couldn't have, now that I'm an adult, A, I've got a modicum of disposable income, and B, it all costs 30 quid because nobody wants it anymore. Nice. It's great. Right.
Nice.
Oh, but it makes you so happy to use. That's incredible.
It does.
Oh, I love
that.
That's
a perfect answer. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to round out this whole thing by saying that mine is a fantastic little device that I got off of Amazon that is like a hard-boiled egg maker, and that's all it does.
Yeah.
But it makes them perfect every single time. And I'm not a huge like one use product in my kitchen, but this, I am never going back.
Dude, you have to put that in the show notes, because
yes,
I'm getting one.
It's incredible. I think it was like
$9. Cholesterol intake trebled over the next week.
I
like
love
to say protein.
Idea.
It's my protein intake. Thank you very much.
Yes. Bring on that information.
Yes, absolutely. You can find all of that information in the show notes. You can also go online to friendsinyourears.com to find show notes on the web if your app does not show them, or if you want to access them later. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. You can also find the show on Twitter at friendsinyears. You can find Chris at Chris Finn, and Sky is at Sky Pillsbury, and I am at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much for listening, and I hope you all have the most amazing day.